Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? We're back live. Unleash World, Paris, France. And we are talking today with Arno Schaefer, our favorite diehard villain and CEO of Vonk.
I'm drinking beer in France.
It doesn't feel right. Drinking lukewarm European beer.
Italian, though, right? Italian brewing.
We're getting Italian beer in a company run by Germans, founded by the Dutch. So we're all confused. Arno, welcome to the show.
Thank you. He's being very polite in German in the corner.
Yeah. It's not my turn to talk.
Yes.
No, it's Europe, you know, so it's a lot of countries, so Italian beer, you know.
All over the place, yes. Germans. I just finished some champagne, so that should go well with warm beer.
So give us a little bit about you, and then we'll get into the company and what you guys are doing right now.
Long walks on the Rhine.
Yeah, long walks on the Rhine, exactly.
It's Oktoberfest. Yeah. It's the Schaefer. Yeah. How's that all year?
I was actually picked up from the street to run Vonk. No. No, actually, my story. It's a good question. So basically, I mean, I am now running Vonk since 1.5 years, since February last year. I actually have a background in advertising technology and marketing technology, and had basically nothing to do with HR tech. So I was approached, and I thought, you know, what Vonk is doing, that's really interesting, but you can develop that in a certain way, you know, and basically use the knowledge from ad tech and martech and to make it more like a really.
So you're doing more like Marketo, HubSpot, that kind of stuff.
Well, in a way, yes. So I think how you run a business in a certain way, it's getting, you know, disruptive. And I think the HR technology, the HR space is pretty, I wouldn't call it old fashioned, but there's still a lot of things to catch up with.
Especially in Europe.
And especially in Europe.
I mean, because programmatic isn't really even a thing here yet.
No, the thing is, when I was in talks with Vonk to run the company, I was, you know, spoke with some folks in the industry, and they said, well, I mean, the biggest tool every recruiter uses is Excel, because basically they make the list and, you know, they book, they do their job postings.
I thought you were going to say Joel. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
And I'm like an Excel spreadsheet.
Well, and I said, well, you know, I can do that better, you know, so, and then I said, look, I mean, let's, you know, give it a try.
And I think historically, some of the best companies that we've seen come from sales and marketing. They just spin it to an HR audience, which, let's be honest, trails everyone else in terms of innovation. So a lot of successful companies have come from the marketing space. So to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So talk about Vonk.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot on the show, but it's usually in the context of an STD and condoms. So clear up the confusion of what Vonk is for our audience.
Clear up the confusion. That's very good. Yeah.
Give me a shot of penicillin.
How did I catch the Vonk? You know, how did I catch the Vonk? Yeah. So basically what Vonk is, we are a job distribution provider in a talent acquisition space. So basically we distribute jobs from A to B. So we are there where a job is created, and we distribute that to job boards. That's basically what we do. And we do that in different types and different products. We do that high volume, automated, multi-posting for staffing agencies. And we do that also highly targeted for enterprises.
For how long? How long has Vonk been around? Because you're new to the U.S.
Yeah.
How long have you been around in
Europe? Well, Vonk actually is a pretty old company. It was founded 16 years ago, 2006.
Oh, it's old enough to drive.
Yes, and basically...
And drink in Germany.
In Germany, yes.
No, actually, it was founded by three Dutch guys at that time. Yeah, and then, you know, of course, the company went through some, you know, developments, started, you know, to kind of, you know, digitalize the whole, let's say, recruitment process. Then they became, you know, shortly in ATS, and then they said, well, you know, maybe that's not a good idea, let's, you know, just to be stay neutral. And then we basically became the Vonk of today, and with you know, with a clear positioning, with focus.
Are we talking sort of programmatic distribution, or just kind of dumb, we're going to put it on job boards and see what happens?
We can do both. We can do both. And I mean, one of the biggest milestones was probably, you know, 2019 or 2020, when actually Vonk, you know, was before my time, bought a company in Groningen in Netherlands, which was a multiposter, IGB, and that became basically the backbone of our technology today. And of our offering what we call HAPPY, the hiring API, which is a white label solution which can be easily integrated into ATS.
See what he did there?
He did segue there, didn't
happy,
he?
HAPPY.
Leading the witness and branding it appropriately. Marketing guy.
That's a great brand. So the market is amazingly different in the U.S. than yes. it is in Europe, right? And it's funny because most Americans don't realize it. Until they go to Europe and then they start doing business in Europe. And most Europeans don't understand it until they try to invade the U.S. So talk about the difference, if you would, of how you are working in Europe versus the U.S.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, Vonk is originally, as I said, I mean, a European company. And we didn't even dream of going to the U.S. until, you know, beginning of next year.
Okay.
So the thing is actually...
Saw the pot of gold.
Exactly. So I think the issue is, I think I've seen a couple of companies, again, I mean, it's the ad tech analogy, moving from Europe to the States, and most everyone failed. Because, I mean, it's such a different market.
Well, then
it's
why
so much,
do it?
Yeah,
you
I
see
mean,
it
that's,
happening.
That's,
the pot
you know,
of gold.
But then sometimes you have to learn from mistakes and basically do it maybe a little bit smarter than others.
It's like the sirens with the ships. It's
well,
like
those times
too
are
hot.
Those times are over, you know. So no, but actually what we did, because we said, well, we could do it a different way. I mean, first of all, we could have just bought a company and we can just say, you know, let's have, you know, five guys, you know, sitting in a New York sales office calling people with no connection, no name, no brand. I mean, that's probably not going to work. So we actually decided to buy people, so to speak. So we started with Josh. I mean, one of the, you know, the persons in the U.S. everybody knows in the HR tech world. And basically he brought a team together. And so we basically, you know, started with an established team. So this, you know, the team is growing and we now have 15 people. And basically with their connections, with their, you know, network, it was much easier for us to basically, you know, succeed in the U.S. than building it completely from scratch.
We talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago. I mean, big, big hires. You got Richard Castellini, Doug Reese. I mean, we're talking about guys who have decades.
Deep roots.
In this industry. So, I mean, that was incredibly smart. But not just the people are different. You're coming at the U.S. in an entirely different fashion than Europe. Can you tell us how?
Yeah, so basically, in Europe, we are mainly direct. So basically, we are talking directly to enterprises. I mean, we work for DHL, BSF, and, you know, of course, you name it. Over 1,000 enterprises we're working for. And we thought, look, I mean, if you now go to the U.S. and, you know, start to call enterprise by enterprise, it's going to take a while with a long sales cycle in HR. That's not going to work. So basically, we chose a different approach and we went indirect into the States. So basically, we said, well, let's just reduce the number of people we have to call.
Touch points.
Just the touch points and maybe just focus on the top 10, top 20 ATSs because they actually hopefully do the sales for us. And so that's what we did. And then we could use, of course, the network we built, you know, with the people you just mentioned. And basically, it was a pretty easy access to the ATS because we told them, look, I mean, there are ways in the industry you can make money. I mean, one is the one you're doing, but the other one we can tell you because basically, why don't you just add a marketplace, a store into your offering, into your flow, and use our technology to post media. And that actually is incremental revenues for them. So it's a win-win situation, and we gave them like a revenue share. So they built with our API a store in the ATS and basically can sell media to their clients, which reduces churn for the ATSs and actually it's also beneficial for the enterprise.
You know, we talk a lot about ATSs that have marketplaces, they have the data, they know what's hot, they know what people are buying, and in historically what happens is an iSIMS text recruit thing where, oh, well, text recruiting is kind of a thing. Let's just buy the most popular solution in our marketplace. You guys are actually helping them become their own most popular app in their marketplace by saying, okay, you're buying this. Here's your menu of items. And here is the greenhouse job distribution product or whatever. Yep. So me as a buyer, I've already bought the brand Greenhouse. you guys are wrapping your product into Greenhouse.
It's like a super app.
We could dig into that. Yeah, I mean, it's helping them become the head of their own marketplace.
Yeah,
double dipping, if you will, because they know what kind of traffic and leverage these apps have, and they can do the math and go, gee, how much money would we be making? Because most of the marketplaces are free,
yep,
right? It's not the Apple iOS where we get 30%. And they're looking at you guys there with a solution of saying, we'll brand it you, we'll be the technology. Why wouldn't an ATS do this? I assume this has got to be like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, basically, it's you know, it's incremental revenue, it's incremental business for the ATS. And I mean, honestly, I mean, I speak to a lot of CEOs of ATS and say, I mean, You would be stupid not to do it, because I mean, that's basically, you know, it's the easiest way to.
I mean, I'm not going to build it myself. I mean, do you guys handle the customer service if someone says?
Can you cut that out?
No.
I mean, the service side of it. Do you guys support that, or is
yes?
Like,
well, basically, it's a completely flow after we do the delivery. We do the operations. We do the support. Partly, that's, you know, depending on contract to contract. So it's a certain flow. And
there are build versus buy scenarios. This is nothing that you would ever want to fucking build, because there are way too many partnerships that you have
exactly,
to deal with.
Exactly.
If you think of all the niche and big player job boards and job sites, if you build this, you have to herd all those cats, corral, and that just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
If you can corner that. I get what you're saying.
I got to think this is going to inspire some competition. Is anyone else doing this? Are you seeing some competitors on the?
Yeah, there are other companies also. I mean, it's always difficult to speak about the competition. I mean, there are other companies doing
and
that.
We will destroy them.
I mean, if it's working, then it's working. Then there's no reason to, you know, to
you
go.
You guys are the first to market on this stuff, right? I had not heard of a white label.
I guess so. Yes.
Well.
Yes.
No, Equest did this back with Taleo 15 years ago, and they got complacent. Now, I mean, the thing was...
But it was one product.
They came out, but it was one product, and they had an exclusive with Taleo, and they got complacent, and then the market just opened up.
So don't be complacent, is what Chad is saying.
He's German. They're not going to be fucking complacent.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.
So what services do you white label currently? I assume job distribution, but what else are ATSs plugging
in? So basically, I mean, so the 5 seconds ad, it's like we have a Wonk suite and then we have a Happy suite. So Happy is our product, and
API.
We do the... You know, do the core, which is the marketplace. So it's the pure duration posts. That's something which is built in into the ATS. Then you can just click on it, like at, you know, if you buy something at Amazon, click, check out, buy. Yeah. So it's as simple as that. What we also do, by the way, is we are offering with one ATS a payment, a wallet. So basically, recruiters or the company can actually, you know, put money into the wallet.
Like an Apple wallet.
Yeah, like an Apple wallet.
Like a Vonk wallet.
A Vonk wallet, and maybe an ATS wallet. And they can just use the money which is in the wallet and basically use it for their media buy. So that's something which is actually a product we built, you know, in a couple of months because we saw there's a need. So that's one thing. And Happy Job Post, which is the multi-posting part. So basically own contracts from an ATS can be uploaded or from a client.
Uh-huh.
That's also a product what we offer. Yeah, and what we also see, and it's also a thing in the States especially, is social impact and compliance is a big piece of our offering. So social impact, I mean, the trend probably right now, you know, D&I, you know, and making sure you reach all the, you know, special sites. And
do you find that bigger here in Europe than in the U.S.? I mean, because the U.S. companies talk about it, but it's all warm and fuzzy bullshit, right? I mean, it seems like the EU really wants to put this in place. Do you feel that?
I think there are two ways to kind of approach it. One is the regulation, because in the States is further down the road with the OFCCP compliance needs. So if you do business with the government, you have to, you know, make sure that you're audit proof, post all jobs on those special sites. We don't have that in Europe yet. I assume that's going to come. In terms of social impact, DE&I, I don't see there's so many differences between Europe and the States. I actually think that the regulation in the States is probably coming to Europe. It actually also will help us offering that product in Europe.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as a trend.
One thing I see, though, is that there could be problems for programmatic vendors in the U.S. because of their ability to target where jobs go and then where jobs don't go, right? And there could be inherent bias in those distribution models. Obviously, the smarter ones that are out there are already thinking about this, but do you see that as Europe starts to mature into programmatic, do you see that as automatically just baked into what you guys do?
I think in general, in a way, I mean, it's like, you know, performance marketing and ad tech, you know, kind of. I see that a lot of people talk about it, but, you know, very few actually using it. So, I mean, we offer that as well. But we see the market doesn't really demand it that much. Yeah. So it's not our first priority.
Gotcha.
I think still a lot of recruiters and enterprises and clients still want to just post their job on Indeed, on StepStone, on the big portals just to, you know, see them there.
Let's talk about M&A for a second, because if I'm sitting where you guys are, I have the relationship with the ATS, I have their trust, I have a technology suite. I would be on an M&A binge to say, how many products can we plug into this ATS that we already have a relationship with? So how many companies are you looking to buy in 2023, and what services
27
are in your crosshairs right now?
I mean, we did buy a company already, you know, like a couple of years ago. So, of course, we're always assessing and looking, you know, in the market if there are any targets, but that's it.
He's very tight-lipped. Did you see how tight the lip got? Yeah.
Yes. Wait, that's sending me signals right now. So we're at Unleash. We're here in Paris. What have you seen here that has surprised you about some of the tech that's happening now? And what do you feel like where the landscape is actually going from a recruitment tech standpoint?
I think in terms of what I just said, I mean, the DEI stuff, that the whole area of being, you know, compliant, ESG related, I think those tools are probably, you know, going to be super important in the future. So I see that as a trend. And I think that's it, basically. I mean, I don't see anything, but maybe it's because I'm kind of single-minded. And
I think
I actually think is super important if you want to be successful is to focus. And I mean, I say that basically every 4 weeks in our all hands, you know, we need to focus, because I think if you're just on too many, you know, different areas, you're just not going to be successful, because you have to have one special area where you're good at and that, you know, explore that. So I think we are top of the funnel and we want to stay there. So we don't want to, you know, move into a competition mode with ATSs or with CRMs or with other systems, because actually we want to partner with them. So we don't want to create a competition.
So no buying of any assessment platforms anytime soon.
Okay. No. No. Oops. Did I say something now?
We're seeing a lot of interesting things, particularly in the States, with the ATS business. We see a lot of really big venture firms spending a lot of money to sort of consolidate ATSs. The IPO market is sort of on hold. iSIM sort of teased that a couple of years ago. How do you guys look at the macro environment for ATSs? Is it the consolidation going to continue? Is the IPO market going to heat up? Where are you on the just the general market?
I think what's secure right now is that it's unsecure. You know, so I mean, the only constant is change right now. You know,
isn't that Nietzsche who said that?
So I think, I mean, to be honest, I mean, first of all, I think there are, of course, macroeconomic external factors nobody would have, you know, predicted half a year ago, with the war in Ukraine, with upcoming recession and inflation, and so I think that's of course something which we still don't really see in our business, but I mean, it's probably going to come. And I mean, the second thing is, I still think that the ATS will be a crucial and central part in the whole ecosystem. So I think more and more services will move into the ATS, and basically that they need to ramp up with, you know, services to basically become competitive.
Yeah, ATSs may not be going anywhere, but they're getting a lot more competition.
Yes.
We're seeing the one platform to rule them all. We're seeing CRMs. We're seeing chatbots becoming conversational AI. I assume that you don't limit your opportunities to the ATS market. Do you see all of these platforms becoming an opportunity for Vonk?
Yes, yes. So we can partner with, you know, most of them. So what we also, you know, will do, which makes it super easy in the future to implement our service, is basically a widget, which is can be easily be, you know, integrated into the ATS or the CRM or whatever partner, and they can actually make use of our, you know, services. So that's also something that we will release pretty soon.
They're going to single-handedly bring back the job board industry by white labeling.
I can't wait. Oh my God. The big question here, is the Bundesliga better than the English Premier League?
Well, I think in terms of, you know, football superstars, probably the Premier League is, you know, still more attractive, of course.
Yeah, well, because they're stealing the big ones, right? They just got Haaland from the Bundesliga.
Exactly. Yeah, they got the big ones. And, I mean, they have, you know, Ronaldo in his late days. He's still, you know, playing there.
Yeah,
I think it's still... And to be honest, I actually prefer to watch Premier League over the Bundesliga, because the Bundesliga is actually super boring in terms of championship, because only Bayern Munich since, I don't know, 10 years, 11 years. But anyway, so I think that's, and I think it's the play is also faster and it's more attractive to watch.
Yeah, it's sexier. Exactly. There's more goals being scored. You're seeing nine goals, right? Instead of like the nil-nils that are happening, which are for any American, we like to see scoring, right? And I think that's just a human thing.
Well, you like to score.
Dude, he pulled a joke. You like to score. You totally missed that.
Yeah.
You like to score. That's German humor right there. Yeah. You like to score, Chad. Ha, ha, ha. Are they going to do any good in the World Cup?
Well, actually, it's in a couple of weeks. I think I fear that probably nobody really cares, you know, about that World Cup because
really?
It's not really. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's in Qatar and, you know, it's, you know, it's winter.
Well, that's
and,
a good point.
And,
well, in Qatar,
but anyway,
too.
I mean, our team is, you know, the German team is, you know, it's like a, you know, you just don't know what's coming out. I mean,
well, that's why he doesn't care, because he knows his team sucks.
Exactly.
Well, let's make a bet. I mean,
is the
U.S. even qualified?
No, I'm Portuguese now.
Okay, you're Portuguese now. So you want to bet who's more advanced at the end?
Portuguese and
the German
team? Oh, yeah, we'll do a C note.
Okay.
A Euro note on that one. Yeah.
Let's bet about a bottle of whiskey, you know, which team is going to be, you know, further advancing.
Oh, yes.
Portugal or Germany.
I'm down.
Arno Schaefer, everybody, CEO of Vonk. Arno, for those that want to know more about you or Vonk, where would you send them?
Well, just to our website, I guess, and to arno@vonk.com.
VONQ.com. We out.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.